Okay, good morning, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. We have the privilege of reading and learning this week Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso is the longest Parsha, I think only in Psukim. I don't think in length of the Psukim, but 176 Psukim nonetheless. And what? Oh, we have a Baruch Hashem. We have many, many talented Bali Kriya in our Beis HaKnesses. And it should be a wonderful Shabbos. And we're coming off really of an amazing Shavuos with a lot of growth and learning opportunities that took place in our shul for men and women, for children of all ages. It was really spectacular yontif. So let's build off of that and begin with the following. The truth is, Naso is really a continuation, which I guess you could say every parsha is a continuation of the one before this. But we left off in Bamidbar counting the Levim. And we only counted one of the families of Levim. There are three families of Levim. You have Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. I said that purposefully in age order. Yet who is counted first? Kehas. Kehas is counted first, and then that's where the parsha ends. And now our parsha begins with the following words. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Naso, as Rosh B'nei Gershon. There's some names that are Gershon, and the Torah has some Gershon. Gamhem, Lebeis Avosam, Lemishbechosam. So the Torah says, count the heads of the children of the family, the children of Gershon, Gamhem. Also count them. What does this mean? Why is the Torah telling us also count them? Would we forget to count them? Would we be only counting Kehas? What does this mean? So says the Bechor Shor the following. Lefisha Gershon Rishon Libnei Levi, Gershon Kehas Murari Vigam Binyan Ben Chodesh Nimnu Bnei Gershon Rishona, Ubezeh Haminyan Bnei Kehas Rishona Binyan Ben Shloshim Lefisha Kan, etc. He really makes two points. We're going to focus on one of them. And the one point we're going to focus on is that they are not the oldest, right? Kehas counted first was the oldest. Gershon was the oldest. They were counted second. Don't forget to count them too. This is, in my mind, this just brings me back to all of Bereishis. Well, Bereishis, who ultimately gets the Abrahamic promise? Not the oldest child, right? The oldest child, right, doesn't get it. You have Yishmael and you have Yitzchak. You have Yaakov and Esav. You have the brothers. It's Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. This is like a recurring theme that don't think just because you are the oldest in your family that you are getting the brachos. It's not automatic. Here, each one of the Shvatim had their, each one of the families of Levim had their own chelek, the family of the Levim. So the Torah is telling us also count them. Don't leave them out of this count. I think it's very important to be very sensitive to in general about siblings. Nobody should ever be in the shadow of their older siblings. And younger siblings also shouldn't be in the shadow of the older siblings. Each one is on their own. Yeah, honey.
Yes, when we do the bind up Yerusha, no matter what, that before gets stuff. It doesn't matter what they are, who they are, what they are. So we kind of separate that a little bit now.
Right. It is, there's a shtar. You're right. When it comes to Yerusha, if one has a boy as the oldest, that's me right here. Before. Bechor Pishtayim. Yet, several hundred years ago, there was a shtar written called the Shtar Chatzi Zachor. If anybody here does have an oldest, a boy as the oldest, sitting online, whatever it is, there is a shtar which all the poskim that I had this chus to learn under, all strongly, strongly recommend one signs, which basically takes away the right of the double portion to the Bechor, and strongly pushes that every child receive equally. Willig, send me an email. I have a whole email with all end of life information. Well, yeah.
Is there any obligation that a kohen has that other children do not have?
So what's the reason why, right? What do we say, b'chor pishtayim, right? What does that come from? So the answer is the Torah says it in Parashat Ketetzin. So it has to be very complicated. There's a whole perek in Maseches Balbasra that deals with what does it mean that a b'chor gets pishtayim. And it comes up in Maseches B'choros also. But it's not so obvious. It's not everything. It's not all objects. And that would, Bizman Azeh, it's a very fascinating topic to look into halakhically. There's a count towards, it's Roy versus Mochsuk. But it's a complicated term for now. But the Meshech Chachma writes very beautifully in Parsha Shamos, he writes the reason why the parents give Pishtayim to the oldest son, it's Kasha on the daughters, 100%, because they are that child made the parents into parents. So it's like a gift to that one. I mean, 4 minutes, the whole Mahalich, differently than this, but that's a thought. Yeah.
Is it also that the only goes child, because he has a responsibility to assume that the father passes away? Does he have a bigger responsibility to take care of the other children?
Yeah, generally that's true. That's Rabbi Foreman writes. Generally, the oldest child historically had more responsibility and also represented more of the values of the parents vis-a-vis the other children. I'm not saying that that's accurate, Bizman Hazeh, or if it was accurate hundreds of years ago, but that model is that model. That's why the Jewish people are called Bini Bechori Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe, go save my children, not the Bechori with a Ches, not my chosen nation. That's what we are called colloquially today, but that's not accurate on Pi the Torah. Maybe that's mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh, but the first time is we are the oldest child. The oldest child means that we have a greater responsibility to all the other children. That we're somehow, we have like this special bond, this connection with dad, mom, everyone to say it. And therefore, that oldest child in certain societies back in the day had more responsibilities around the house, also had more responsibility to give over whatever messages the parents, you know, cared about, their values, to the rest of the family. And that's what Bini Bechori Yisrael means. In Klape us versus the rest of the world. We're not the chosen nation, we're not best, but our job, we are uniquely fitted to then educate the rest of the world on Torah values. Think of Rabbi Sacks. Rabbi Sacks felt like the values of Judaism, something that should be given everywhere. It's debatable whether it was his last book or second to last book. The book came out after he passed away, but a book that he wrote called Morality came out. I felt like there should have been a part two to the book, but that's a lot of what morality is about, is that our responsibility to the rest of the world, using Jewish principles, right, to shed light and spread light to the whole world. So that is answer number one, why the Torah says, Naso as Rosh B'nei Gershon, Gam Hein, also count them, oldest versus youngest. Chizkuni writes the following, Gam Hein, so why was Kahaz counted first? They were not the oldest. Not sure if they were the largest. Because they carried, right? They carried the most chashuv things. They carried the aron. They carried the menorah. They carried the holiest objects, therefore they were counted first. So says the Chizkuni, just because that was their zchus, that's because that was their job, doesn't mean that other people with other jobs are not as significant. God forbid. Anyone know what the B'nai Gershon counted? They carried? They carried the curtains. They carried the curtains. Curtains are important. They create boundaries. The separations between the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash and the rest of the world, but also between, you know, within the confines of the Mishkan as well. Very, very important. And one second, and the roof over the head. Overhead was also something they carried. So the Chizkuni says, don't discount them just because on paper one looks better than the other. They're not better than anybody else. That's their job. That's what they were given. But everybody is equal in the eyes of Hashem. Yeah, Jules.
Why does it say Gamheim? The order may be notified, basically specified to count so-and-so, but you would include every. If there are 100, you would count 100, whether one's number 100, number one, you still would include them. So why do we need Gamheim?
So says Rav Menachem, the Menachem Sion. Who is the Menachem Sion? We've quoted him a few months ago. Ben Sion Zaks, a Rav from Chicago. Rav Yonatan Sachs from Psaic, it's his grandfather. And he writes the following, Gamheim shows you that we equate the job of Kahas to the job of Merari, to the job of Gershon. They are all equal in the Avodas HaTzibur. He says, if you look at it, what is this message here? Is that the Tzibur can't get by with just one person. One person can't do it all. It's nearly impossible. Every single person, you might have a person at the head who is the leader. You might have, you know, multiple leaders, but even then, you need people to take on different roles and different missions within the Jewish people, within the Mishkan itself. And that is what the Torah is teaching us here. Gamheim. They're all equal in the eyes of Hashem, and we needed them all to help out in every way. That is very significant over here. And I saw something very, very nice to add to this, or actually this is a second point. You have three families. You have Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. This is quoted, I saw from Rabbi Yechiel Spiro, in the name of the Beis Avraham. The Beis Avraham is one of the Hasidic Rebbes. He says that these three families represent three different feelings that people have all the time. Kahas are the people that are always striving and always growing, the Jews that are on fire, right? They carry the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach HaZahav. They're like Kodesh Kedashim every moment, right? Every waking moment, they're like really connected. They're plugged in, we would say today. The second is Gershon. Gershon was not a schasha. They carried the curtains, the irios. It wasn't so prestigious. The word Gershon, garash, means to be, what does it mean?
Thrown out,
rejected. Yeah. So he said pronoun. Yeah. Gershon. So they mean to be rejected, to be thrown out, to be pushed off to the side. Right? David HaMelech says, ki Gershuni hayom, right? David was saying about himself that people wanted to reject me, right? That's a feeling that Bnei Gershon can have because I'm the oldest. Look what I got. Second fiddle. Sometimes people, right, can feel rejected and slighted. They didn't choose me. They didn't pick me. Look at me again. Look what's happening. I'm passed over. They don't even look at me. I didn't get the aliyah again. Amazing. You know, amazing thought. Amazing. This is there's a halacha. I heard this from Rabbi Baum from Keter Torah in Tinek. There's a halacha that you should have kviyas makom kavua. You should daven in the same place every single day. That's a halacha. You should. And by the way, if someone's sitting in your seat, within four amos of that makom is also the makom. So, yeah. No. In shul too. Wherever you daven. So we learned that from Avraham Avinu. So Rabbi Yashiv, that's in his Sefer on Shas, says something amazing. He says it b'derech tzachos, which means a little bit as a joke. But he says, why do we have this halacha of makom kavua? You daven wherever you want, no? So there's something called somatic memory. And if you look in psychology books, you'll see how like maybe where you daven always impacts continuation. Kids should take tests in the finals time. Kids ideally should take tests in the room that they learn the material in. They'll do better on the test. So somatic memory. So, but he says like this, why? It teaches us humility. Doesn't the Gabbai know where I sit? He didn't give me an aliyah again. Again? He knows I'm a great Baal Tefillah. He didn't ask me to daven. So if you're sitting in different seats every single time, okay, he doesn't know where I am. So okay, fine. I'm giving him an excuse, right? No, you're sitting in the same seat every single time. This teaches us the midah of humility. It's anivas, a little bit anivas when we come to shul. That's a very interesting way to understand what Malcolm Kavu. So that's B'nai Gershom. Those are Jews that feel innately, automatically, they feel just a little bit of rejection. The third is Merari. You guessed it. What is Merari?
Bitter.
Those are people that feel very little satisfaction in their service, in their mitzvos, in their everyday life. It's very hard for them to get. Gershon sometimes feels rejected, but sometimes feels elevated. One or the other. It doesn't always have to feel one way. But the Merari Jew feels a sense of bitterness. Why is that? What are they carrying? They're carrying like the beams, the sockets. They feel like what they're doing is, they're like, Gershon, you're doing grunt work? We're doing grunt work. This should be in boxes on the top of animals. And animals, they should be carrying this in the midbar. We should not be carrying this. So they feel very little satisfaction with the way they are doing. It's heavy and it's also not kavodik. One thing, the menorah is full of gold, but at least like it's the menorah. You know, the paparazzi are going to take pictures of us carrying the menorah. The paparazzi is not going to be taking pictures of us carrying the adonim and these small, inconsequential, these inconsequential kalim. Therefore, one second. Therefore, it says by each one of them, Naso es Rosh b'nei Gershon, Naso es Rosh b'nei Merari. Naso es Rosh means you got to uplift them. Got to lift them up when you're counting them. They matter. Someone has to do it. Not everybody is going to get. Not everyone wants. First of all, everybody wants the position of carry the aura. Carrying the aura also came with a dangerous possibility of what could be if you carried the aura and didn't take it too seriously. And some people, you know, value this. And the Torah is saying we value all of those positions. Yeah.
Kas, yeah.
We'll talk about Korach when we get there. We'll talk about Korach. Okay. That is thought number one and two for this morning. I want to go now. So Rabbi Yudin, this is great. So the final schedule at school. So I was in learning my office yesterday, and Rabbi Yudin was giving his lunch shiur on Wednesdays, and they're up to the mitzvah of Gzeila. So someone mentioned over Shavuos about keeping all 613 mitzvahs. Maybe today, how many apply today because we don't have the base of Mikdash, etc. So someone's like, you know, what about stealing? Like, do I need to steal? If I steal, then that's a mitzvah because I can return the object that I stole. So obviously, we shouldn't do that. But we're talking about this, and there's an amazing point that the Menachem Sion makes over here. So the concept of, we have a concept called vidui. Vidui is something that we talk about over the course of Elul and the Yom Minorah. That concept of vidui comes up in the context of one Avera and one Avera only. It comes up in the context of Gzela, of stealing. Ish o isha ki yasu mikochat osa adam limo mal basham. This tremendous amount of mitzvos. Before we get into the end of the parasha, really is the nesiim and the gifts they gave. That's why the parasha is so long. But the nasa was rich with many, many mitzvos. So one is, if somebody steals, limo ba'al ba'asha, maybe it's a me'ilah, maybe they steal from the base of Mikdash. Ashma ha'nefesh ahu, vizvadu es chatasam asher asu. In order to receive full atonement, you have to do vidui. Why here of all mitzvos? Why is this the place in the Torah that tells, and from Mikan, from here, you learn vidui. The Rambam says that every single mitzvah, kol mitzvah shebetor, bein asa, bein asay, lotase, If you violated a mitzvah, because you didn't do it, or you did an avera, you have to do vidui. You have to admit that you did something wrong. Vishla havin. Madua hismicha Torah mitzvah asei shal vidui, sh'ikar shal tshuva, dafka la'avera shal geza. Why is it directly connected to geza? No, what do you think? Why is it directly connected to geza? So many more mitzvahs. We could do this. Murder is not so big. Yida rayos. You're pretty serious. Why Gzela of all things? What?
You return to Gzela. That's what happens. If I took something from you, then I have a change of heart and I give it back to you.
Right.
Do I have a punishment for that?
So being Adam Lachavero, you're good to go. Being Adam Lamakom, you're not good to go. You have to still do Vidur.
Same with this.
Easier. Actually, you might have to apologize to your friend also. You have to apologize to your friend. The steer and its contradiction to Ramah. But yeah.
Same with this.
So this is a general thing about controlling yourself. That's the message here. So, in the Ela, yeah.
You bring your carbon cactus, you're basically doing vidui.
Yeah, you have to do vidui associated with the korban. That's one of the questions. We did a Q&A on Shavuos for 5 to 10-year-olds, but me with 40 kids. It was amazing. Love it. It could have gone on for hours. I think a fight broke out in the middle. Boys, I don't know. Shooting rubber bands at each other. I don't know. It's great. Sounds about right. What? Who was it before? And this is one of the questions the kids asked. When the Beis HaMikdash comes back and we have korbanos, are we still going to daven? Amazing. 6-year-old boy. It's unbelievable. So at the end of the Ela, right? This is like, it's unclear. You can feel Kedusha too. In the Ela, you feel Kedusha. You really feel it at that moment. It's a very special moment during the course of the year. And we say in the Tefillah of the Ela, it's a Tefillah we only say once a year. We say, Ata nosen yad l'poshin, God, you stretch out your hand for sinners. V'yemincha pshuta lo kabal shavim, and your arms are open to receive us. V'tilamdenu Hashem lakinu lizvados l'venech es kol avonoseinu. And you've taught us the path to vidui, to tshuva, l'man nechdal, in order for us to stop, me'oshek yadenu, to stop us from stealing. Oshek is a type of stealing. It's like, what? L'man nechdal me'avonoseinu. In order for us, you give us the pathway that we're going to stop doing averas in general. Why are we getting so, you know, narrow focus and narrow minded right here? So says the Sfas Emes that really, when it comes down to it, any avera that we do boils down to Gzela. Hashem, right, Kadosh Baruch Hu, gave us our skill set. He gave us time. He gave us potential. He gave us so much in this world. Us not taking advantage of that, says the Sfas Emes, is a form of Gzela. Is a form of Gzela. Shekol Avera, this is the language. Sha'adam over Aleha, who gets on. Ultimately, any Avera that we violate is a form, is a shape, is a type of Gzela. Gozel hu es chayav, es kochosav, es krishonosav. It takes away our life, our strength, our potential, and our skills. Hashem gave it to us in order to protect and to cultivate and to work on with everything that we have. By not going that way, he says that is Gzela. And that's ultimately what we are being tasked for at the end of Ne'ilah, at this very, very, at the very, very holy moment. A fascinating beautiful thought from the Sfas Emes.
So Rabbi,
yeah.
If you say that our own body doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Hashem.
Yeah.
So anything that we would do like identify as Hashem. It doesn't, our body is not ours.
Anything we do, okay? Yeah.
Anything that we do is wrong, since it doesn't really, this doesn't belong to me.
Anything we do is wrong? I don't, what does that mean?
Anything that's wrong, that, you know, you divide with Hashem, right. You know, you're doing something
actually, wrong. It's taking away, right? It's taking
it
away.
It's not Hashem.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be, yeah. Make that argument for sure.
Okay.
Moving on to Birchas Kohanim. If you're here on Pesach, the first days, you hear an amazing drasha for Saul Berman on day two of Pesach. He gave an unbelievable drasha on the deeper meaning of Birchas Kohanim. I cannot do it justice at all. Over, it was beautiful. I want to focus on the following issue. There's a halacha that a kohen that was horeg es hanefesh. If a kohen murdered somebody, then they lo yisa es kapav. They're not allowed to be nose es kapav. They can't do birchas kohen. That is
okay.
Yeah, that's the halacha.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
What?
Cohen murders somebody, they can't do Birchas Kohanim.
Okay.
I think Torah's to emphasize that. I think that's clear.
Good. What about you're in the Israeli army? You're a sniper. You have a few snipers, by the way, in the shul. Speak. And you're in. Don't pass by him. whether he has a makom or not. Good. So he killed a terrorist. Can he get an aliyah? Terrorist is a person. So is that the same?
That's
not murder.
That's self-defense.
Ooh. That's self-defense. Okay, you're saying self-defense.
But it's still taking a life.
So it's still taking a life, but it's self-defense. Pinchas actually was rewarded. He was rewarded to become a Kohen. He was not a Kohen beforehand, and now he became a Kohen in this situation. Right. Very good point.
When he killed, he was allowed to.
Right. Okay, fair point. So Rav Avi Yosef has a tshuva on this. Rav Avi Yosef has a tshuva where he writes that for the sake of the nation, and its context of war, and it's for protection. He writes that is not a problem of Ritzicha that the Gemara is talking about in the Halacha. But now let's take it a step further. What about Halbanas Panim? What about a Kohen that embarrasses somebody publicly? A Kohen shames somebody else. Does that warrant a deposing of them from the Amid, from the Duchim? So this is something that actually is discussed amongst the Poskim. The Sheilos HaTshuvos Lahoros Nasan, Rav Nasan Gestetner, writes the following. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that Habanas Panim, embarrassing somebody, is in the world of Avak Ritzicha. There's a Tosfos, Maseches Sota, that writes, let's say somebody puts a gun to your head and says, embarrass that person. Here's the information. Giving it to you. Embarrass that person publicly or I kill you. Whoa. The halacha is, someone puts a gun to your head and says, kill that person, I kill you. Right? Who says my blood is redder than theirs? You have to take it. That's halacha. What about this case? Tosfos doesn't answer the question. Now, you don't need to be an expert in Tosfos to know that Tosfos usually answers the question, right? Doesn't answer. Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Tshuva writes that he thinks you don't do anything. You shouldn't embarrass. You shouldn't embarrass. There's a Tshuva like that in Mincha Shlomo. So here, Renosik Gestetner says, he argues against this. He says, it's like Ritzicha, but it's not really Ritzicha. Habanas Panim embarrassing, shaming somebody publicly, eina hariga mamsh. Ela avak ritzicha. If he doesn't think, he hasn't seen anywhere that a kohen would not be able to duchen for this reason. Okay, therefore he paskind, he can get up there and duchen. Yeah.
If somebody kills somebody, and there are two witnesses, and he was warned. Then he gets Lisa from
Pesach. Correct.
If somebody embarrasses someone, and there were two witnesses, and he was warned that, you know, you're not allowed to embarrass somebody and start killing him.
Right.
And he still doesn't. He doesn't get Lisa.
Correct. So you wouldn't get Lisa. Right. That's what he's saying. It's like murder, it's like, but it's not real murder. Yeah. Correct. However, Rav Osner, Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, one of the great poskim from Bnei Brak, learned Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, survivor of the Holocaust. He died a few years ago, in 2015. Rav Osner writes, he thinks, absolutely not. A Kohen that shames somebody publicly cannot duchen from Yom. That is not a Kohanic act. It's not appropriate. In fact, there's a sefer called Vayisa Aaron, which is a sefer on Birchos Kohanim. It's a pretty big sefer on Birchos Kohanim. He writes like this: Kohen shehil bin as pnei chaver shedino kirotzeach mikol makom eino kirotzeach mamish lachein rashai. Okay, he thinks he quotes from Nasan Gesedner. Maybe it's okay to do it. And then he says the following: he thinks a kohen that embarrasses somebody publicly should not duchen. Until they ask for mechila. They should not duchen until they ask for mechila. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah writes, what is the bracha? We just heard it a few days ago. What's the bracha that a Kohen says before they duchen?
Biyahava.
Levarech es amo Yisrael. Biyahava. They need ahava. Right? I don't think there's any other bracha that we have in all of the texts of all the brachas that we have a lot of brachas for a lot of things. No bracha has the word ahava in it, except for Birchas Kohanim. A kohen should, and that's why he writes the following: Kohen should tzibor sonin oso oshu sones at tzibor sakanahu la kohen zeh lisa es kapa. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if the kohen is hated, God forbid this should ever happen. We should have a situation like this, right? Or the kohen is not liked by the tzibor, maybe they should not duchen. And they should walk out. They should walk out. Who knows? And I want to conclude with the following point from Rabbi Sachs before we get there. Yeah.
So a Kohen that marries someone that's also
what?
A Kohen that marries someone. I don't think that's so. Like,
yeah.
Right. That's also duchen afterwards.
See, the minute is no. No.
So if it's no, you could say in a case like that he can't do it. It would seem to be 100% that if he goes ahead and says something to hurt somebody, he shouldn't be able to do it. It should be like
a no-brainer. Yeah. So Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, in many essays. Rabbi Sachs itself writes the following: there's two different types of cultures that exist in the world, and different different countries today they're very bifurcated. But today, I would say, there's certain countries folk have an emphasis more on one versus the other. There's shame culture and there's guilt culture. There's two different types of cultures, right? Shame culture: what matters most is the judgment of others. Acting morally doesn't matter. What matters is conforming to public rules and expectations. What matters most is what people think of me, the shame culture, because I'm afraid I'm going to be shamed if I do something wrong. It's not about my moral compass, my ethics, but my values. It only matters, Klape, how, you know, we look. how other people look at us. You do what other people expect you to do. You follow society's conventions. If you fail to do so, society pushes you by subjecting you to shame, ridicule, disapproval, humiliation, ostracism. Think of social media. Social media today is one big case study in shame culture, right? If you write something there that you think is right, you might get destroyed, right? You can get destroyed on social media. Bullying on social media for younger kids especially, and also for adults, is horrific. It's a real thing. It affects reality. People literally have taken their lives as a result of this. That is a shame culture completely gone wrong. There's something else called a guilt culture. A guilt culture, what matters most is not what other people think of you, but it's internal. It's the voice of conscience inside of you and how that guides you in everything that you do. Living morally, right? Different societies focus on different things. And you can argue, right? Look at the shidduch world and how that, unfortunately, too much emphasis is placed on the outside. What people, right? How people look at you, what the expectations are of a young woman, a young man of a certain age and community, you know, where they come from. And that is that we're not going in the right direction when it comes to that. But this is a broader issue that is very, very sex is writing about it a lot at the end of his life. Shame culture and how that is affecting all walks of society.
Have a Jewish mother culture.
Jewish mother. It's a little bit of good. We love Jewish mothers. We love Jewish mothers.
Rabbi?
Yes. Danny disagreed with Jewish mothers?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Danny. Yeah.
When you said shame the first time, I wrote it as shin mem, but it's really the same, whether it's Hebrew or English.
What do you mean by that? Take it. Explain. Go ahead.
Shame is the name, shame tov, versus S-H-A-M-E.
You're right, but that's very good. The emphasis is the same. I only care about what people think of me and what my name says. Not what I'm doing is right or what I'm doing is wrong, right? It's excellent, right? Where's my focus? It's, I think in psychology 101, you learn about where is your values come from? Is it where's your locus of control? Is it external or internal? That's another way to say it also. Okay, Shkoyach, thank you. Last point here, we're going to quote from Menachem Sion again. Sometimes when I can't get it, find a copy of the Sefer. I don't know. It's very hard to find it. I think they're out of print. So once in a while, I go on. I remember. It's like I go to one website called Otar Chachma has the Sefer. I print out like 10 pages. And I'm like, every page is such good Torah. Such good Torah. So I wanted to share another thought from Menachem Sion. He said the following. Perkes, we are going back. This is like more of like the Mishkan Torah, which is... Again, we're building off of. We just ended Vayikra. Really didn't end Vayikra. But in Vayikra, we learn the following. Al Pi Hashem. That's not possible. Oh, this is Rashi. Vayimo Moshe Aaron. Huh. No. This is a mistake. This is from Vayikra. This is actually from Vayikra. I'll share the idea anyway. Per test, Chav Gimel, it came up in the middle of Nasa for some reason. Okay. The Torah says the following. This is in Parsha Shmini. I don't know why. It always applies to Torah. So I don't know why it came up in the context of Parsha Nasa. Maybe it was in the middle of a thought. So Rashi writes there, that the Jewish people, that Moshe and Aaron bless the nation, and they see the Kavod Hashem. Rashi writes, "V'hinom Hashem Elokeinu." The Jewish people say, "V'ratzon tishishu shechina b'maseh yadeichem." That Hashem, they say that Hashem should rest His shechina, His presence, in your hands. Why? V'shekol zayin yimei meluim shemidu Moshe l'mishkan b'shamashbo u'pirku b'chol yom lo sharsa bo shechina. Every single day that Moshe and Aaron practiced in the Mishkan, the 7 days before they actually built it for real, right? It was the Shechina never came down until this moment, and it's only at this moment that Moshe realized and Aaron realized that they were mechaper, they were atoned for the sin of the golden calf. Right? So what do you see here? And every single day they davened that Hashem would give them kapara for the golden calf. The Nir Lomar, here, what you learn here is the following. You want to bring the Shekhinah into the world. You don't daven, you know, for somebody else to fix their sins. Don't worry about that guy and what they're doing wrong and what she's doing wrong and the mistakes that they're making and what they did and their shaming. Worry about yourself. So Moshe and Aaron, in the 7 days before, leading up to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan being built, they were davening for themselves and praying that Hashem would atone for their connection and affiliation with Chayta Egel. Only then, when we're focused on ourselves and not what other people are doing, can we bring the Shekhinah. I want to add the following vort. I forgot where I saw this. This is so beautiful, right? In Kaddish, when we say Kaddish, we say, Osa Shalom Imrom Rav, Hu Yasa Shalom Aleinu, Kolisor Avim Ruami. How do we do that? Right? What does the Chazan do when he says Osa Shalom? You always say he's Russian. But he's Russian, but what does he do? Takes 3 steps back. In order to have real shalom in this world, you have to step back. You have to really step back. If you want to really shalom amongst the family, two people are fighting in the community, you want it to get done, you yourself, your job is, take a step back. Maybe even take 3 steps back. And listen, right? And then and only then can shalom be created. Okay.
You say that, you finish off the whole paragraph before you take 3 steps forward. You finish off the whole ending before you, when you take the 3 steps forward.
When you finish, yeah.
After you finish. So it's also part of the same thing, because in other words, you know, stay when you want to stay, and stay back, right? Only until when you're finished. Then come forward and don't say anything else.
Yeah, great point. So today we began by discussing that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't forget, Gamhem, Kent Gershon Gamhem. Why Gamhem? We thought two answers as to why Gamhem, oldest versus youngest, what their job was, what their role was. Then we discussed the three families of Levium, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari, three different types of Jews. We mentioned the idea about the Makom Kavua from Rav Yashu. We mentioned also, why is it that Vidui, this mitzvah of Vidui, is only mentioned in the context of Selah? Then we went to discuss shame cultures versus guilt cultures, the violation of embarrassing somebody publicly. What does that mean halachically for a Kohen? Can they go up to Duchan? Nobody should embarrass anybody publicly, but they have a special unique role within Klal Yisrael. And then we had a beautiful thought from Parsha Shmini about everyone needs to focus on their own job and not emphasize other people's faults. And then we will get the Shekhinah in this world. I wish everybody a great day.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Question. Okay, so the Kohen basically, he knows.